Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts 2, verses 36 to 47, the New International Version, found on page 1694 of your pew Bible and also on the screen. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom God, from our Lord, our God, will call." With many words he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God bless the reading of his word.
So before we begin worship today, I feel very moved when we were praying for the worship team. And just to share a little something that was on my mind as we were singing. Something that we do often at the beginning of our service is we do something where we greet each other and we shake their hands. And a lot of that practice comes from some of the more liturgical churches, and the practice is called passing of the peace. And a lot of times we go to each other and we just say peace and peace. And people think it's a nice way to just say, you know, may God's peace be with you. But a lot of where it started was to have a place when you come to worship that you would know the peace of God through his forgiveness. And so often what people would do is they would have this time where they said, let us meditate upon the places where our heart is not at peace with God. Perhaps it is through something we've done to break off relationship with God or with each other. If there's something that is really burdensome on your heart, let us now approach God in humility and confess it before him. Now, you can see how in a lot of churches that wouldn't be very popular. You know, good morning, everyone. Let's talk about our sins. You know, you could see it wouldn't be a great hit. So it kind of became a little more watered down, I suppose. And it just sort of became, let's just greet each other and just say, like, hey, peace of Christ be with you. But I really do think once in a while that it is really important to just have that moment. You know, we are in a place called a sanctuary. For whatever reason, you've come into this building, into this place. Maybe there's been a burden on your heart. You know that you've come here. You know something is not right about the way you're living. You know that something in your heart is deeply troubling you. You know that perhaps God has not been the first thing on your mind. That love for him has not been your primary vision. In fact, you can see it in the way that you love others. The way that you love your friends or your family. Something is not right. And I encourage you right now, God wants to give you peace and forgiveness. He's not here to judge you and condemn you, but he longs to forgive you. But it's hard to forgive if you're not willing to ask for forgiveness first. And so I encourage you right now, just as a body, let's just take a time for ourselves before we hear the word, to humble ourselves before God, confess our need for him, to ask for his peace and forgiveness, that we may receive all that God wants to give to us today. Let's just take a moment to ourselves to pray, and I'll close us. Lord God, we thank you for the truth written in your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive. Lord, it's not your heart or intention to hold sins over us and to hold resentment and bitterness against us. But God, We read in your scriptures that the truth is that you long to love us, you long to restore us and forgive us and redeem us. You came to give us peace through Jesus Christ. And so today, Lord, we want to quit hiding from you, and we want to confess our need for you. And we want to ask, Lord, that you would bring peace to our hearts, the peace that only you can give, that comes through your forgiveness. Lord God, would you wash us clean? Would you make us people set apart for you? Make us people, Lord, that have a clean heart created in them. Restore unto us a right spirit, that we may receive all that you desire to generously give us today on this holy day. We love you, Lord, for your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And what you do now, you look at the people beside you and say, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let's do that. May the peace of Christ be with you. That's very different, isn't it? Yes, may the peace of Christ be with you. High five. Yes, you can do that too. Anyways, so I want to call attention to the message today. This is the last message I'll be giving on faithfulness. And I feel in a way, all of the talk about faithfulness, I really sort of wanted to climax it here. And you know, I've been talking a lot of different things about faithfulness. And of course, faithfulness starts with a faithful God. We can't be faithful without a faithful God. And I've been talking a lot about that. And you know, it happens not just in our individual lives, but in our families. Also, not just in our families, but as a church. And what I was trying to talk about the last time I preached was that, you know, God is very interested in starting a new people for himself. You know, right from the beginning in Genesis, I pretty much laid it out. From Genesis to Revelation, it's been revealed that God wants to make a people for himself. And where is he going to start making this people? It is in the church. And if you're like maybe some of my friends, they look at the church and they're like, are you sure you want to start here? I mean, it doesn't look that great. But it is in God's wisdom that he would choose the weak things of the world to shame that which is strong. It is in God's great mysterious plan to use just normal people like you and me for the great purpose of being his people. I tried to show that in Genesis, pretty much from the beginning, God wanted to make people in relationship with him. He made us in his image, and he wanted that image of himself to just spread over the world so that it would fulfill that prophecy that we read in the Old Testament, that just like the waters cover the sea, he wanted the glory of the Lord to just fill the whole earth. And how is God going to fill the whole earth with, like, you know, the radiance of who he is? It's us, people made in his image. But you know, there's this constant pull though. God sends us out, and we don't want to be sent out. We want to kind of just stay indoors. And that happened. If you remember this story in the Old Testament about the Tower of Babel, everyone wanted, you know, God told them, go out, be fruitful, spread out, spread the glory. They just wanted to stick together and make their own glory, their own tower. And so what did God have to do? He had to break them up. He had to break them up with languages so that they'd spread across the land. And they did. But time and time again, God keeps kind of trying to push us out, and we keep wanting to just like come back together again for our own reasons. But this is what is really exciting about Acts chapter 2. You see, that kind of curse of Babel, of like trying to scatter us because we're so stubborn, is finally broken. After Jesus Christ died and rose again, he said, I'm going back to the Father, but when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. No one knew what he was talking about. So he left to the Father, and they're just waiting around, wondering, okay, what's going to happen? And then one day, as they're worshiping and praying together, this amazing thing happens. A lot of different people from different backgrounds, different cultures, they're all gathered in one room. And then all of a sudden, they start understanding each other. You see, that's the great miracle of Pentecost. Not that there's this awesome flames, like amazing, like passion and energy. The amazing thing is, like, all these people who are so different are now brought together. And they understand each other in one language for Jesus Christ, to worship him. And that is what's so exciting about Revelations at the end, is that finally God has assembled a people for himself, that he will be their God and they will be his people. And it says this kind of curious thing. It says they will no longer need the sun because God will be their light. Just the light of God will be shining over everything finally, just like he wanted to do in the beginning. And where is this going to start? It all started in that Acts moment when the Holy Spirit came. And why did he come? Did he just come to just get people together? No, he wanted to start a people. What you see in Acts chapter 2, what we just read, is the beginning of the church. This is where the church starts. Why? To bring people together who are different for the purpose of worshiping God, of making a people for himself. This is the non-negotiable. This is the thing we cannot ignore, that God has brought people together, not for the sake of the people, but for the sake of bringing people together to make a people for his own. We are called to be that faithful church. And it all starts with this beginning. Now let me pull back a little bit. We were talking about personalities and spirituality. I'm a big picture guy. And, you know, I pretty much just told you the whole history of mankind and the church and where we all fit in it. That's pretty big picture. Let me come back a little bit to my own story as a person. This is really funny if you know me. I'm the kind of guy who really does not like commercialization. But I stand before you with a very strange testimony. I was saved through television. Can you believe it? Television, of all things. I don't even watch TV now, but it was through TV. When I was in junior high school, I grew up in a Christian family. I have wonderful, godly parents. But it was at this strange moment, I don't know why, I stayed up late. And there I am, alone in the room, just watching TV. And this broadcast comes up with this guy named Billy Graham. And basically, he just kind of lays out. And he said something that was very convicting to me. He said, sort of like what I said today, do you feel in your heart that you don't have peace with God? You just feel like you're disconnected from him, is essentially what he's trying to say. Do you feel like something is not right in your relationship with God? And I was so moved by that. And he basically said, if you want to be right with God, if you want to have peace with God, he just shared that it's through Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. He said, if that's you, and he's preaching in this huge arena or something, and he says, if that's you, come down to the front, and I want to pray for you. And he says, you know, the important thing is that you make a public declaration, that you're not afraid of this. And so there I was in the room alone, and I was thinking, I want to be in that TV right now. I want to go down. And I was pretty young, and so I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just got up out of my couch, and I just went by the TV, and I just knelt there. And I said, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. And I was so moved by this. Right after that, I think it was right after, I went downstairs and I wrote this long letter to Billy Graham. I'm just saying, thank you so much. I just watched you on TV and I was just really moved by it. And I'd never wrote this before. I just saw like, oh, and you know, send your donations now to da-da-da. And I thought, okay, I'll just write a letter to him at that address. And I just wrote this letter. And I just was so moved and I was just so thankful for what I saw. I just sent it to him. Interestingly enough, actually a couple of months, like a month later, someone wrote me a letter back, and they said, oh, thank you so much for your letter, and here's a couple of things you can read to let you know more about the faith. And so, you know, not a very glamorous beginning, right? So I want to be the first to say that, you know, the media and TV can reach people. I mean, me standing before you as a pastor now with a sort of a strange testimony is a testament to that. However, I do want to talk about the dangers, though, of how we have used kind of the techniques and the strategies of the world, and we've gotten off topic. Another person that, when I became just a young Christian as a kid growing up, waiting to go to church, there was this thing called, I don't know if anyone's heard of it, But it's a church by Robert Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral, and it's called The Hour of Power. And I remember before we go to church, I'd watch this, and I was so impressed by it. It was this gigantic church in Orange County, California. And he would have these very inspiring messages. And I was so moved by them. And a lot of them were just talking about the power of how God can use positive thinking to really change your life. And I was really impressed. I was very inspired by these things. I remember going to Sunday school when I got to church, and I'd tell my Sunday school teacher about Robert Schuller, and I'd say like how I was so blessed by this word. And he would tell me, you know, yeah, I see the value in that. But he said, you know, I think there's more to the gospel than that. And, you know, I just thought he was being like a stick in the mud. I was so excited about God, and he was just like dousing my flame. I was kind of disappointed. So it was with interest. It was a lot of nostalgia. Just recently, I read in the Associated Press this article that the Crystal Cathedral at this moment is actually pretty much in bankruptcy. And they're thinking it might shut down sometime very soon. And if you've seen the building, it's gigantic. It's beautiful. Everything is like it's all glass pretty much. And they'd have these really elaborate pageants every Christmas. They'd bring in live animals. You know, it'd be a full-blown theater production. And many people would come every week, thousands of people. They'd do like these international telecasts all across the world. And Robert Schuller now is quite young, and he's been trying to pass off the ministry to his children, and there's a whole story behind that too. But the reason I'm just sharing this, I don't want to like air out people's laundry, but you know, one thing that really struck me was that a big divide was when people looked at the church, they realized that they were pretty much doing the same thing that they've been doing for the past couple of decades. The same broadcast. They refused to get into internet or other media and such. They just kept doing the same thing. And you know, what was really funny about this, I'm reading this secular article about it, and the article is kind of pointing out, it's sort of interesting that they're losing touch with people, because when they started their ministry, they actually started very cutting edge. Robert Schuller didn't have much, so he just started up worship in a drive-through theater. People could just, that was when it was really popular to use drive-in theaters, and you just drive into the thing, and then you set up the speakerphone, and then you could just listen to the message. And it was that initial intention was, he was trying to reach out to the post-war generation that was growing up in hope, and that's why a lot of the message was there. And he used the medium of the time that was the drive-in theater, and he did a lot of these really cutting-edge, like, you know, exciting things. And it was just interesting is that they had this wonderful building, but he was still sort of doing it like how it was successful in the 80s. And I know some of you are maybe wondering, like, oh, is Pastor Sam going to talk about the old versus new? Actually, not at all. What I did want to talk about is that it's interesting that sometimes we have great beginnings, but that doesn't guarantee anything in the future. What is really important is that are we continuing to be faithful to the original calling? The original calling to be the church. You see, God started this church on an amazing foundation. People came here. They started all these programs for the express purpose that Jesus Christ would be known in Chinatown. And God is calling us to that same vision again and again, each day, every day. You see, mission is not about us, but it is about what God is trying to do. It is about God's purposes, and he's calling us to be the faithful church. You see, the amazing thing that we read in Acts chapter 2 is this. People were huddled in this room, praying, and just, they didn't know what God was going to do. But when the Holy Spirit hit them, they moved from being in huddled together in this room, praying together, and they moved out into the world. And that is the movement that happens when the Holy Spirit hits us. He goes deep into our lives. He goes deep inside of our lives and then sends us out. You see, before they were scattered people. And what do we read in verse 42 about these people after the Holy Spirit hit them? We read, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And so they continued to go deeper in their relationship with each other. They got to the point where all these different people were even willing to share what they had with each other. Amazing miracles, provisions of God started breaking out. And they began to praise God with sincerity in their homes and eat together. And verse 47 says, as they praised God and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, that's the amazing thing. And the Lord added to their number daily. You know, we're in a world where people talk about church growth. And a lot of the strategies we want to use are not taken from the Bible, but they're taken from sort of corporate strategies and from demographics and research and such. And so what we're really interested in multiplying churches is not so much about, are we doing the kingdom business, but it's more about, like, are we growing, like, enough revenue to keep the thing going? And I honestly don't think that CCC is about that. I think there's a lot of people who really safeguard the integrity of the church. But you know what the real model we have for church growth is? That God is actually interested in growing a church. He is actually interested in growing numbers. But he's not interested in doing it quite like the world does it. He's interested by doing it through touching people through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, mission is not just a program that we share about. You know, missions are being done in our church, and I am so impressed by our church, how well they are in giving and how active we are. But the important thing to remember as we continue to give to missions, mission is not about lifting us up. Wow, look at how much we're giving for missions. Look at, like, what we're doing. Missions is an act of getting the word out. Mission is the very concrete act of us being touched by the Holy Spirit and doing something to get outside of the church. You see, the mission of God started here in your heart as an individual, yes. God saved you as an individual, yes. But he has not left you as an individual. Now he is calling you as a people to be faithful to the task that had started in Acts, starting with the group and going out into the world. We can do missions and be blessed by it, but the blessing we receive is not just for us, but it is to spread the blessing. You know, when I had one of my first conversations with Pastor Charles, I asked him about, you know, what is CCC about? And he said something, you know, very powerful. It's about knowing God and making him known. You know, other churches and mission organizations have shared this same statement. But it's so powerful. We have come here to know God on this Sunday. But it's not simply to know God and walk away knowing him a little bit more. It's about knowing him and making him known. And the message of God is not just an intellectual endeavor. It's not just like, did you figure out point 1, 2, 3, 4? Pastor Sam will test you later. The message of God is about word and deed. And why do I say word and deed? Because we live sort of in a time where the church is divorced a bit. I don't know why, but it has. You see, there was a point where many people began to think, you know, we can't just talk about the Bible like this, like some big idea. If we're not helping people in their everyday needs, it seems kind of hypocritical for us to talk about the God of love if we're not just loving them day in, day out with what, of just living. And so you get people like John Wesley with a real passion. He really believed you cannot have a personal holiness without a social holiness. You cannot be all personal with God and just think that's enough. You must have a social holiness. You must care about the things of society, about people outside of your inner circle. And so many people really, you know, said, yeah, that's right. And so what happened as a result, many people started saying, you know what, just just keep it down with the preaching part. Because if you preach so much and you don't do anything, it doesn't mean anything. It's better to just do the stuff and just let them connect the dots. And so this whole movement started where people started giving something called like a social gospel, where they help people's social needs. And they thought, that's where it's at. That's how we're really going to reach the people. And then the people over here felt kind of left out, and they said, you know what, those people, they don't even talk about Jesus anymore. They're just really charitable people. The reason you're charitable is because about Jesus Christ. And so what we'll do this thing over here, we're going to talk about the gospel. And we'll talk about the gospel so much, and we'll convict your hearts so that you'll just connect the dots and figure out you have to help people later. And so these two groups just started going farther and farther apart. You get these people who are so wrapped up in evangelism, but they had really no social relevance. And then you have these people who are so wrapped up in like social outreach, but they really had no relevance to your spirit. I mean, yes, you can do all of these wonderful things for people, but like, why are you doing it? Did you ever think about that? And these people, you look at them and you're thinking, man, you keep talking about Jesus, but you don't really care about the people on your block. And so what happens? America is stuck in the divide of these crazy evangelicals and these crazy social gospel people. And what do we see on either side? We see hypocrisy. And now we enter into the church as it is now. I don't want to be a part of that. There's just no consistency to them. And the real challenge is this, is that none of these should have been divorced from the start. Wesley never wanted to do that. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement that started in England and reached here. He really believed in the power of social and personal holiness coming together to be bigger than words, to share deeds of goodness and compassion, regardless of their background of faith, regardless of social standing, but to serve them because we love our neighbors. Yea, verily, even our enemies, even the people we don't like, we love them too. So be bigger than your words. But also, be bigger than your actions. Don't just do things. Because many people do things in this world, but they've forgotten why. And they've become sort of empty shells, and they burn out. You can only go so long on good intentions. Something deeper must fuel you. Don't forget to articulate the reason we do the things that we do at this church is because of Jesus Christ. We do these things to show them that God wants to start a people here, the church, a people for his own. And many people look at that and they're thinking, that looks like a real tall order. And that is what's so exciting about Acts chapter 2, is that the Holy Spirit has come to give us the power to do this. Sometimes I look at church, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this, God. I read the Bible, and I'm thinking, this is pretty big. I'm not sure how to do this. And God says, I know how to do it. You need to trust me. That is the whole teaching of the Holy Spirit. God is here to help you. The Holy Spirit desires to share God's love with everyone, to heal and bring life, more than any of us do. He is here to help. But he wants to work through us. You know, many of us may have started off with a good idea about what church should be. You know, a lot of times, I think a lot of church energy is spent on, like, what should we do as a church? And we spend a lot of conflict. But I can say one thing that is a non-negotiable, one thing that is really key, is are we being faithful to being his people? Faithful to knowing who he is and making him known. It is the amazing miracle of God that when the Spirit of God hits a bunch of people who are really different, he can bring them together for God's purpose. And that's what we read in Acts. And so I wanted to bring us back to the foundations. If this is the beginning of the church, then let's get back to the Acts vision, where the Holy Spirit hits us and brings us out. And you know, the prelude song that we sang today, do you want to know? Are you sure you want to know? Because your life will be changed. That is a challenge for us today. Do you really want to know what the church is about? It's revealed here today. If you acknowledge it and recognize it, it will change the way you look at church. It can no longer be this thing that you just kind of attend every week. It is a much bigger thing than just yourself. The reason that we keep this building running is not just about keeping a building running. It is for a bigger purpose. The reason that we do the fellowship time downstairs and we eat food together is wonderful, but there's a bigger purpose behind it. All of the things that we will do will change. And so as I close today, I want to challenge us to think about, are we faithful as a church? How can we be faithful in spreading the word of God, to let his words be known? And then also, how can we be faithful to let the deeds of God be known in the things that we do? How can we let people know that the reality of God is here? And also for us as a church, how can we let the world know that this church is about being faithful to making God known? And Pastor Charles is going to be sharing more about that next week. But I wanted to just sort of set the table with this. You know, as we do our elections today, and as we also think about next year, what we want to do as a church, I want to just encourage us and challenge us. Let us be that people that is faithful to the mission of the church. This is what we're here for. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that you've saved us and you love us. But we want to just acknowledge, God, that you have called us for something much greater than just ourselves. Father, forgive us for the ways that we have made this message of your grace something very self-serving. We pray, Lord, that you would turn us inside out. Holy Spirit, would you fall upon us? Draw us together that we may go out for your kingdom purposes. Let us be a church that is faithful to mission. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.